You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Well, you wonder, don't you, how impactful is your relationship to your children as a mother and a father in regards to them having the same faith as you? You have a faith in Jesus Christ. You know, how does that transpire? How does that develop? How does that translate into your children's life? We're going to talk about that with the George Barna Study. I'm Greg Lancaster, of course, John Ramos.
Hello.
What's happening, man?
Man, I'm excited.
Well, talk to us about this survey. It's powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. Christian Post just put out this amazing article talking about this. I want to share a little bit with you because I think you said in the monologue was so powerful. I think parents get beat up so often.
Right.
They get, you know.
Well, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
We're going to find out why if you're a parent, and you're a father, especially, you're going to find out why your role has been under attack, why
sure.
you as a couple have been under attack, why you as parents have been under attack, father's significance, why you've been under attack. Understand, it's a spiritual battle coming against you in hopes that you will not translate your faith to your children.
Correct.
Or cause your children to believe that your faith is not for them.
That's right.
It's a battle to be able to communicate that through. But we've got good news for you. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so this is what the article says. Mothers are more credited with driving spiritual development in American Christian homes than fathers, according to a new report by the Barna Group. In research created with the Lutheran Hour Ministries, they partnered together, stating that spiritual development in the home, again, is driven by mothers. When surveying practicing Christians, Barna found out that 68% of the respondents, Greg, said it was their mother's faith that influenced them versus 46% for their fathers.
So 68% said that their mother's faith influenced them.
Right.
You think the mother's like they're constantly nursing, feeding, meals, and just that.
Doing everything.
The mothering thing, everything. It's amazing what mothers do.
It's amazing.
But the father's also affected by 46%. So
that's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
After that, after the mother and the father, 37% of respondents reported that it was their grandparents who influenced their faith, 37%. 16% reported a non-relative, and 14% reported it being a friend.
So you're looking at family has the major impact. Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing that's always under contention that's going
always.
On. The enemy's coming to trying to divide that. And I think about, you know, grandmothers and grandparents. You know, sometimes you feel distant as a grandparent. And you think, well, they're not paying attention. I'm sharing my faith. I'm loving on them. I'm forgiving them. But the reality is you're sowing into their life. And I remember when I had somebody in the Navy who was speaking into my life, and I wasn't a believer. He was a believer. And he was introducing me to the Lord and his way and taking me to different functions and all. And I just didn't. I was blind. I didn't understand what he was even talking about. But as soon as I became a believer, guess what? He's the first one I thought about. Well, what connected me was once I could see and once I believed, I understood it was him amongst others that were speaking in my life. So even though you might not see it as a mother, see it as a father, see it as a grandparent, the moment they believe, that harvest is going to come in. It's going to just, you're just planting and understand you're planting something because it's not here yet. So you keep sowing and sowing and sowing and that harvest comes in and you're looking at potential for parents sowing into their children's life, living it out, right?
No doubt the labor is not in vain.
I
look
it is
back
not.
And think of the years of my grandparents living their Christian faith out. And when I was away from the Lord, you always knew that they were consistently seeking God. And there was a place that you can, people you can talk to that knew the Lord, you know? And
of course, I remember my father and mother doing the same. My father being faithful, you know, to attend church. And I remember as an unbeliever watching, like, you're writing, I'm going to check you right into the church. And I didn't know, have any clue at that point. You know, he was faithful, giving to the church and his tithes and offerings and that type of thing. But it was later on I understood. I was like, wow, what a foundation to have.
Yeah, my mother as well, too. I remember all those times. My love for Israel came as a young child when my mom would grab me and my sister. And there was a lot of anti-Semitic things going on in our community. She said, we don't ever want to participate in that. And we would pray for Israel and the Jewish communities.
It's beautiful.
When I was a young child and all different things like that. But you're amazed. Just be encouraged. Don't give up.
Yes.
Because the children are seeing it. So the study continues to say that they also found out that most respondents, 59%, said that they were Christian as an adult because of a member in their household passed their faith down to me. That's what they said.
So 59%. So it's going to come through the majority is going to come through how the family communicates the faith, are you living out your life? You know, you're not perfect, but are you actually going after God? Are you becoming discipled yourself? Are you reading your Bible?
Sure.
If the kids think about you, do they think about you and your Bible or you and your fishing rod? What do they think about when they think about you in the context of that?
And how important is it for you, especially if you're new families and you have a child or a baby, for you to make that decision, if you haven't already, that you're going to serve the Lord? I think reports are that most missionaries that went to serve the Lord in other countries, they received the Lord as a young child. It's like a high percentage. But a child didn't receive the Lord by themselves. It was a parent who raised them up, who brought them to church, so they can have that encounter with
God. And
we're
talking about faith in Christ. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about somebody who's made a decision to have eternal life with God forever. Sins forgiven, in relationship with God. And it's a big deal passing on that to your children. It's huge.
What's the greatest thing that you can pass on? People talk about passing off money and all these types of inheritances. The greatest thing that you can pass to your children and great-grandchildren is a relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Nothing
That's
better. 23% of respondents said they were Christian in spite of bad experiences with Christianity in their upbringing, and 15% said that their adult beliefs were not influenced by their household growing up. 11% said that someone explored faith at the same time that they did, and 2% was the other. So I thought what was interesting is that 23% of Christian people that respond to the Lord said, I became a Christian even though what I saw at home wasn't necessarily what you
right.
know, the best
so
example.
It's not over for you
no.
if you had a dysfunctional home, if your parents didn't believe and they didn't live out their faith, that there's nothing holding you back.
Yeah.
So you can find, no matter what, you can find God right now if you make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Nobody's holding you back. It's a decision that you make. It just helps you when other people are speaking into your life and demonstrating in their own life what it's like to be able to follow Jesus Christ, right?
No doubt. Yeah. The article continues to say that other research indicates that fathers hold a strong influence on the religious practice of the children. We're going to be talking more about that in the program, but we wanted to go to 5132 as we're going to kind of question that was asked here in the slide is, what would you say you are a Christian as an adult because of a person who you grew up with in your household.
So would you say you are a Christian as an adult because of a person you grew up with in your household? So
yes.
Are you a Christian because someone was in your house, right? That's what you're saying.
So 59% said, yes, I'm a Christian because someone passed their faith down to me.
59%.
That's huge.
Yeah, 59%.
That's huge. Just like 60%. Let's say 60%.
Yeah,
right?
60%.
6 out of 10, 600 out of 1,000.
Which means 40% didn't. So the majority is receiving their faith that way, 60%. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So
next one is
I'm a Christian despite the sort of Christianity I saw in my household growing up.
So if it's dysfunctional, they didn't serve God, or it was just weird,
yeah.
That's still 23%.
23%.
Yeah, 23%. Yeah. Powerful. Okay.
Powerful. No, my Christianity as an adult is not because of any person in my childhood household. 15%.
So it had nothing to do with your household.
Right. Only 15%.
Only 15%.
So
wow.
You can, in contrast to the 59%.
Right. That's huge.
Very huge.
And the last one is?
Yes, someone explored faith at the same time I did, 11%.
So a side-by-side journey when you're both discovering God at the very same time. That's powerful when you think about, people, it's evangelization or going to talk. This is what Jesus said. He said, wait until you're baptized, till the Holy Spirit comes, so you'll be given power to be a witness of him to others. In other words, wait for the endowment of power so you can actually tell your children about God. Mm. So you can tell your friends and coworkers and your neighbors about God. And was the very key strategy that what we're called witnesses, of the king and his death, his burial, his resurrection, sitting at the right hand of God. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so can you imagine that your whole life, you never told your children about God. You never understood they were watching. Even though your children may talk negative about what you're doing, and they think it's uncool to consider their parents as cool until they get later and they find out, oh, you was
you
pretty,
were
cool.
Pretty cool. Right? You were pretty cool.
And, you know, don't pay attention to that. Realize they pay attention to everything you're doing, and they may kind of like shop with what you're saying and kind of treat it like a buffet. But as life goes on, they'll start realizing, going, it all mattered.
Yeah.
Every bit of it mattered.
And just as important as what you say, I love what Francis of Assisi was quoted saying. He said, preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words. And so it's our witness at home, it's our lifestyle, the things that we incorporate, you know, in our daily lives that right. It's only Jesus that most people are going to see. So the greatest evangelist is the one in the home. It's
the way you live your life.
Yeah.
With fear and trembling, because they're going to reproduce, you know, who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I want to say this, after we get back from this break, we're going to continue on. We're going to tell you some very encouraging things. If you're a father, you're going to find out how important you are to your children's faith. Also, why you've been under such attack, why it seems like everything in society, especially in America, but other countries as well, Australia's happened there, happening in Europe, they're literally just emasculating the man. They're just, you know, saying he's insignificant, that he's replaceable, that you don't even need him outside of one thing that he could contribute. The reason why is because you're so significant. You're so important. So how influential are you as a parent, as a mother or father, over your children's salvation, where they're going to spend eternity? We're finding out you're very, very important. Like 60% is being passed on from parents, and fathers are so significant. We'll talk about that in a moment. But listen, but, you know, as we're talking about this, we want you to comment below. Let us know, who was the one that led you to the Lord? Was it your parent? Was it your mother? Was it your father? Was it your grandmother? Was it a friend? Were you two of you seeking the Lord at the same time and y'all found God? Yeah. But just comment below. We'd love to hear how you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. What led you to the Lord? I mean, did you watch somebody's life and they told you about Jesus? I mean, what was it? We just love to hear that. Comment below. Let us know what's going on. John.
So the next question is, whose faith influenced you? So mothers, 68%.
Oh, we're looking at that right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mothers, their faith, their mother's faith, 68%.
Someone said that their mother influenced their decision for the Lord.
It matters what a mother's doing, doesn't it?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And it matters who you marry, right?
Yeah, it matters who you marry.
Fathers, 46%. Mm. 46%.
Wow.
Grandparents.
If you look at mothers and fathers together, that's the majority of the impact.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you think about it, all the things that a family goes through, all the different experiences. It's important that, you know, is God the last choice or is he the first choice? You know, is everything, do we need to take this to the Lord and see what the Lord says?
Right.
Or are we trying everything else?
Right.
You set a pattern of living for the Lord in your family. We can see why these numbers are the way they are.
And you think your child's going to spend approximately 18 years with you.
That's right.
So they got to live 36 years before they can fully undo what happened in the first 18.
Oh, wow.
That's how much time. They'll be 36 before they live that much time away from you or potentially, you know, making their decisions going on, which means it's a major impact. I mean, say by 3 years old, you really have impacted a child. By 10, Lord knows how much you've actually sown into their life, what's going on. They're very impressionable, what's happening. And the Lord created them. He's wanting us to let them know that God created you. He has a plan for your life, that he loves you.
In fact, in a previous program, we talked about how their worldview was established by the age of 13. And by the time they get into their teenagers' years or early 20s, they become an evangelist for what they perceive their worldview is.
They definitely become an evangelist. Yeah. The question is, who do they come up for? And you talk about worldview. What he's saying is that, did they view the world being created by God, the universe being created by God, that he's holding all things together, that, you know, he's the ruler over it, and that he sent his son into the world to redeem the world, and that it's all meant to be under him, and it's being gathered together?
Or did they think something else?
Or did they think something else? So the worldview, that's what you're talking about. You know, Hebrews starts, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, starts out saying, you know, you first have to believe that he exists, and that, you know, he created the universe, and that, you know, all these things that are just basic foundational understandings of how things are.
Yeah.
But you see the world right now, the world's constantly, you know, trying to change that. They're trying to push narrative after narrative out and just making up some weird stuff and teaching it in the education mountain. They're having on the media, broadcasting it.
Putting it on TVs,
cartoons,
movies.
Putting it on TVs and programs and cartoons. It's amazing how consistent they are at spreading untruths. And these different, you got to pay close attention.
No doubt.
And if you're watching that with your children, don't just let it pass by. Just go, well, you know, that's not true.
That's exactly.
That's not true. You know, even if it was some cartoon, that's just not true.
You got to view life together, not separate. You really got to walk your children through it. Yeah. The last few is a grandparent, 37%. How awesome is that a grandparent can have that type of an impact on their grandchildren? Non-relatives, 16%, still double digits. Friend, 14%, and another relative, 10%, and a sibling, 9%.
That's amazing how low a brother or sister is in that.
Yeah, it really is.
Quite often they're familiar with each other.
They're two peas in a pot anyway.
Yeah. You know, that person couldn't be a believer, right?
Yeah, they're struggling together.
Well, you think about Jesus' community grew up with him, and when they found out he was the Son of God, they couldn't believe that he was the Son of God. And so they were going like, he's a carpenter's son.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Yeah, and it's like they were wrong.
Yeah.
They were wrong. His siblings were wrong. Yeah. And so that's not unusual for that to happen. But later on, of course, James, you know, was the apostle in Jerusalem.
Well, no man after the flesh. And it's amazing what happens, right?
Yep.
So this article continues to talk about that in the 1990s, there was a group from Swiss researchers. They found out that married fathers who regularly attended church were more likely to have children who became regular attendees than fathers who never attended or attended irregularly. So the father made the difference. It's pretty amazing.
It's amazing to me is how many fathers suddenly want to join the volunteer fire department because they meet on Sundays.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the biggest fire you can put out in your kid's life.
Man,
and
I mean,
there's nothing like firefighters. We need them. We love them.
Yeah.
My son-in-law is a captain. It's captain. Anyway, so... But the fact is, put the eternal fire out in your child's life, you know, because outside of a relationship with God, there's either heaven or hell. And so one way you can do that is like, you know, put the fish and chip aside till after you gather, you know, with your church family and have a outward expression of your faith. You know, a lot of guys go, it's in here.
Yeah.
And the kid's going, are you sure it's in there? Because I can't see nothing
out here, right? That's right.
And to have that kind of outward expression and just showing up and being faithful and, you know, support your pastor and connect with the other guys in the church and, you know, help the single mothers out. Just be present. It's just part of your life. It's your family.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord. And, I mean, you could not only impact your family, you'll impact other families and literally society because if you reach a man,
That's right. You
reach the world.
That's right. Yeah. Let's go to 51:34.
Yeah.
There also here says that, in short, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotion, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper.
One in 50?
One in 50. I'm going to read that again. If a father does not go to church...
No, you take the kids, honey. I'm going to stay here nothing.
Do nothing. Say, yeah. No matter how faithful his wife's devotion...
You see that quite often. You see a lot of wives.
They're staying faithful.
They're
taking
their kids in. They're going to church.
Taking them out of the vacation Bible school, all the other stuff. Still,
every prayer request, like, let's pray for your father.
Yeah, exactly.
Pray for your father.
Only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper.
One in 50? It's tragic.
One in 50. It's tragic. Now, watch this. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, whether she goes or doesn't go, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will become churchgoers.
Look at that. Like 2/3 to 3/4 of their children.
That's amazing.
So I would say, father, you know, understand, you have to understand, I want to encourage you in this. The reason why you're feeling so insignificant, because you're under attack. If the enemy wanted you to be significant, he would cause you to feel significant. But the fact that you're so significant, he attacks you mentally, spiritually, physically, with business, everything's going on, even in your own family, to get you to buy into the fact that if you don't show up, you know, your family's better off. And it's a lie. It's the opposite. The truth is, if you show up with your family, show up in your marriage, show up in your church gathering and be present there, it's going to impact, 2/3 to 3/4 of the children will end up serving God. Be a regular... They'll be faithful to God. You see,
and men understand this. Yeah. They have honor within them. They have duty within them. And so they feel comfortable being good providers, being good protectors. And they think they're doing the best thing. But really, the chief thing, the best thing, is what we've been talking about, is to decide that you're going to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and that you're going to live for him to the best of your ability. Everything else will pan out in the end.
Yes.
That's the chief thing.
That is the fire to put out. Eternity,
no doubt.
Eternal fire. So fathers are so significant. John, talk to us about the significance more about the fathers.
Well, we're going to go to 51:31, but this is 56%. Listen to this. 56% of kids who have a close relationship with their dads share his level of religious commitment while just 36% of kids with a weaker relationship to their father can say the same thing. This was this is by Vern Bengston.
36%.
Yes.
Whoa.
Isn't that huge?
I mean, fathers and mothers, you are the ones that are communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to your children. And, you know, it really matters what you're doing. It matters the decision. And you think about it. You spend all this time at work, you know, making money during the week, and some reason you're there all the time. When they got to clock in, you clock in. When you clock out, you clock out. You talk about work all the time. And you know, what's taking a couple hours out of a week to be able to go and fellowship with other believers and to build relationships and care about them? Because Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. So your kids need to see you connecting to other parts of Jesus' body, other people, that you're helping to carry their burden, that you're praying for someone else, and that when they see that interaction, they're seeing you offer, you know, the fruit from your labors and work. You're saying, God, the tithe belongs to you, and you're giving, and your kids are seeing you do that. That impacts their life.
Yeah. In fact, we want to help you out today. We want to give you a tool, because you're hearing us and you're saying, I want to do this. You're right. I need to do this. Go to iabide.org and get your free plan on how you can have a relationship with the Lord and how you can duplicate it and teach it to your family.
That's it. Simple plan. We have it for you. It's free of charge. You go to iabide.org, request your plan, and we'll send it to you immediately free of charge. So I want to ask you this question. First of all, if you're a father and you're thinking about, man, I just realized how much my life impacts my children, comment below. We want to hear your thoughts about that. And I want to pray with you now. I want to pray with the families. I want to pray and ask God just to inspire you, and also the children. Listen to your folks. I mean, watch what's going on. Don't cut yourself off from eternity. This is very, very important for you. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for family. We just speak family again over the church, marriage over the church, family again, and just connectivity and showing of the faith, Father God. And we just speak life. We thank you for Barna and the Barna Group, God. And we ask you, dear God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.